This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Baruch Haba. We're continuing our shiurim in Sefer Devarim, which are again generously sponsored by Dr. Zakim and Mishpachta, Leila Nishmas, Hashem Eliezer, Ben Rabbi Yaakov Zakim, Leila Nishmas, Rivka Bas Tovia Halevi, and Rab David Ben Rabbi Yaakov Tzvi HaKohen. Today we're going to speak about Parshas Kisavoy and Rosh Hashanah. Before we do that, we have a few public service announcements. First of all, could you hear? You're able to hear? Yeah, okay. First of all, we have very exciting news. Starting this coming Sunday night, we're beginning a new program. It's called Chavra de Hilchasa. It's a program of learning Yaradeya, Basar B'chalav, Machaber, Rama, and the main Shach and Taz. If anybody would like to join a very significant learning seder, it's Sunday evenings. The course is 1 year. At the end of the year, you get a status. You become a member of Chavra de Hilchasa. And you can learn, you'll know what to do if the milchik fork falls into the fleishik sink, if you stick your fleishik knife into a piece of pizza, if the kelim get mixed up in the dishwasher, if they put you in the dishwasher, you'll know everything what to do. And if you haven't yet had an opportunity to learn Shulchan Aruch with Noisei Kelim, it's a very good opportunity. The shir is going to be live in Cedarhurst, and for those who sign up, they could join on Zoom. So this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, beginning Sunday night. 1 year, Basar B'chalav, and then the next year, Taruvais. So look into it, consider it, and this just may be maybe your calling. Okay, so Chavra de Hilchasa, Sunday night. Now you wanted to know what's the next, what time? This coming Sunday night will be 8 o'clock. Probably, maybe in general, 8:30. The next trip coming up is the Shabbos Project of the Chief Rabbi of South Africa. You could join us in South Africa, Cape Town, Shabbos in Johannesburg, and then Yarchi Kala in Kruger National Park, Parshas Vayera in November. So take a look at that. Also, a very special opportunity. Okay, Parshas Kisavoy. In the introduction to the Teichacha, the Pasuk says, Unesancha Hashem l'roish, Hashem will make you the head, v'loy l'zanav, and not the tail. V'hayisa rak l'mala, and you will be only above. V'loy siya l'mata, you will not be below. When will this be? When will you be the head and not the tail? When will you be above and not below? When? Ki sishma el mitzvayis Hashem l'kecha, when you listen to the commandments of Hashem your God, asher anoichi mitzavacha hayom, that I command you today, lishmar v'la'asais. So here, it's a good thing to be a head and not to be a tail. Vashti was a tail. You don't want to have a tail. Not that she was a tail, but she grew a tail. You don't want to be a tail. A tail is not geschmack. You never heard somebody say, guess what, I'm a tail. It's not great to be a tail. You want to be a head. And Hashem says if you keep the mitzvahs, you will be a head. Pun intended, you'll get ahead and you will be ahead. You will be a roish, not a tail. Now, later on, in the Toichacha, Parshas Kisavoy, this week's Parsha, the Gemara says in Megillah, that Ezra was masaking that we read the Toichacha before Rosh Hashanah. So this way, when the year is coming to an end, the year comes to an end together with its curses. So right before the shir, I had a root canal. So that, you know, as the year, all the stuff comes out at the end of the year, and as the year is going down the drain, recently I was in South America, there, and we did an experiment. You know, there's a shaila, whether the water in South America, whether it goes down the drain the other way. Some people say it's a myth, but I think it may be actually true. So as the year is going down the drain, just imagine, you know, the year is going down the drain. Today is what, Yadalid? Tonight is Rei Tezvav. The year is going down the drain. And as the year is going down the drain, we read Parshas Kisavoy. So we say, let all the curses go down the drain together with the year. So Tosfos asks, what do you mean? We don't lay kisavei before the year is over. We always lay nitzavim before the year is over. So the Torah says we need a buffer zone before the year. We don't want the curses to get too close to the new year. Otherwise, as they're going down the drain, you know how the drains work. Sometimes at the end, they overflow a little bit. So you want to make sure they go down the drain and they stay there. So we do kisavei. We make sure to pour something on top so it stays down the drain. Okay, so comes the Toichacha, and the Pasuk says, Hu yalvacha, the nations of the world will lend to you. Ve'ata lo salvenu, you will not lend. Hu yiel roish, he will be the head. Ve'ata tiel zanav, and you will be a tail. It's not good to be a tail. You want to be the head. So therefore, at the beginning of the year, the Gemara in Haria says there are certain foods that we should eat. Let's say the Gemara tells us you should eat rubia, karsi. You want to eat foods that signify amassing many mitzvahs. You want to eat foods that signify cutting off your enemies. The Gemara doesn't say anything about this food, but this food is brought in the Torah and in the Shulchan Aruch. Oichlim roish keves. You should eat the head of a ram. Not so easy to get a buffalo, so eat the head of a ram. Loimar to say Nia Laroish Veloy Lazanov. We want to be a head and not a tail. Now the question is, what if you don't have a ram? There's no way
a sheep.
So in some stores you could get a sheep. Most stores in the five towns, you could get a sheep head. But what if you can't find a sheep head? Or let's say your wife says, over my dead body you're bringing a sheep head into the house. So therefore, if you don't have a sheep head, yoichal roish acher, eat the head of another animal, shel behema, of an animal. Eat the head of a behema, or eat the head of, not of a fish, but rather of a bird, oishal oif, or of a bird. So you could eat the head of a cow, you could eat the head of a goat, you could eat the head of a deer, you could eat the head of a chicken, psikresha. What about a fish? Nice try. You thought you were getting off easy with the fish. That's not one of the options. Fish is not one of the options. You got to use an animal or a bird. Says the Torah, V'oichlim roish keves, eat the head of a sheep, v'harea, and the lungs. Loimar nia l'roish v'loy l'zanav, should be a head and not a tail. V'harea, and the lungs, the fishi hikala, it's light. It's light. You want a light year. Or let's say you want your daughter to become a kala. I don't know if that's the meaning. It's light. You want to have an easy year. You want to have easy parnasa. You want to have easy commute. You want to have easy chinuch habanim. It's light. V'harav Meir Meiratenberg, the Maram Meiratenberg, hayo rogel lecha rosh ayil. He would eat the head of a ram. Zecher la'ayla shal Yitzchak, to commemorate the ayil of Yitzchak. Likewise, the Beis Yosef writes that the Mordechai writes in the name of the Goinim that we eat the head of a sheep so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should listen to us L'Toiva and make us L'Roish V'Loy L'Zanav. So there are a few questions here. Number one, this whole thing is superfluous. Why do we say a head and not a tail? Guess what? If you're the head, guess what you're not? You're not the tail. So you don't need to say a not the tail. Just say we should be a head. We're talking to Hashem. I think this is not a complicated diuk. If we want to be the head, obviously we don't want to be the tail. Why do we need to spell out and not the tail? So Reb Zalman Sarotskin wrote a sefer of Jerush called Hadea VeHadibar. And he's troubled. Why do we say V'loy L'zanav? We already said we should be a head. Why do we need to say and not a tail? The answer is as follows. In Pirkei Avos, Rav Masya ben Chara says, "Havim makdim b'shalom kol adam." You should advance in peace to everyone. Meaning, be the first person to greet someone else. Don't like make believe. Yeah, people like they make believe they're minding their own business. They saw the guy down the block. They know he's coming, and then like, oh! You saw the guy 10 minutes ago. You saw him five blocks down. You greet him first. You be the friendly one. Nothing will happen to you. You will not lose money if you're friendly to somebody. It doesn't cost you anything. Just say hello first. Kol Adam, it doesn't matter. He's Jewish, he's not Jewish. He's a good guy, he's not a good guy. When I was in 7th grade, the Rebbe used to give us assignments. So one week, our assignment was that in shul we always have to be the first to greet someone else. I think you were allowed like a certain number of allowances. Because, you know, you had people, they tapped you on the shoulder. What are you supposed to do? So you had like a certain 3 allowances maybe. Anyway, so it's, he said you should be makdim shom kaladim. Number 2, the heavy zonav la'arayos ba'alti roish l'shualim. Okay, you want to be the leader, you want to be a roish. You're better off being the tail of lions than the head of foxes. Meaning you're better off being the lower end of good people than the head of bad people. If you could be in a certain community, you're better off being from the lower level of a better area than a higher level of a lower area. So we see from here, it's not always good to be a Rosh. Not always good to be Rosh. Sometimes you're better off being a tail than a head. Because it depends who the head is. If the head is a lion, you're better off being a tail than a head to foxes. So it says Rav Zalman Sarotzkin, Shania L'Rosh, we should be a head, but it's not enough to be a head. We want to make sure we're a head for good people, that we shouldn't be a zanav, meaning like this. Of course we want to be a head. We don't even want to be a tail to arayos. We don't even want to be a tail to lions. We're asking we should be a head for lions. Shania L'Rosh, we should be a head. Now, you might say a head, so maybe we'll make Hashem will make you a head for foxes. No, v'loy yeh lezanav. I don't even want to be a tail for foxes. I don't want to be a zanav at all. In other words, I don't want to be a zanav even for arayos. Shania L'Rosh, I want to be a head. And it's not enough to be a regular head because a tail of lions is better than a head of foxes. So when I, v'loy lezanav, I want to be a head that's better than a tail of lions. Meaning I want to be a head of lions. So yeah, so just say straight what you want. Why do you have to beat around the bush? Just say, you want to be a head? Say, shania l'roish la'arayos. Nah, that's too presumptuous. You can't just make such an announcement. You want to be the head of the heads? Too presumptuous. So you say, I should be a head and not a tail. So like the insinuation is, you don't want to be a tail of lions, but you want to be a head of lions, but you don't want to spell it out so clearly, so you say it in a modest way. That's how Reb Zalman Sarotzkin, understands it. But he says, look in my Sefer, Aznayim L'Toyra. In Aznayim L'Toyra, in Parshas Kisavai, this week's Parsha, he's also bothered. Why does it say, Shenia L'Roish V'loy L'Zanav? Obviously, if I'm a Roish, then I'm not a Zanav. So he says like this. There are different kinds of heads. Some people, they think they're big, their heads. Some people, they think they're Askonim, they're Oiske B'Tzarchei Tzibur, they think they're Rabbanim, they think they're Rosh Yeshiva. Yeah, they're a Rav or Rosh Yeshiva or an Askin in their own minds. But in the eyes of Hashem, they're not even a banana peel. So they think they're ahead. But it's irrelevant what you think you are. You need to be ahead in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's not enough Shania L'Rosh that you should be a leader or an important person or a great person. Because if you think you're a great person, but in the eyes of Hashem, you're a peel of potatoes, then what value is that? So we're saying, Shaya L'Rosh, V'lo Yia L'Zanav. Meaning, I don't want to be a Zanav who is an actual tail in the eyes of Hashem. And then Rav Zalman Sarotzkin says he has another approach, B'Derech Tzachos. What does it mean, B'Derech Tzachos? In a humorous light. Says like this, if you ever go to the fish store, do you ever go to a fish store? There's no such thing anymore. Now they have big grocery stores, and in the grocery store, they have everything you need. There used to be something called a fish store, and there used to be something called a bakery. You can have a Gemara Megillah, regular Gemara Megillah, a bakery, a meat store. No, now everything in one. You need Mr. Clean, they have Mr. Clean. You need toothpaste, they have toothpaste. You need meat, they have meat. You need fish, you have fish. You need challah, everything. Everything all in one stop. You need to get an oil change, whatever you need in one. Even in bingo, you could get a strammel. Whatever you need, and you could buy them wholesale. And then you could open up small retail shops, and you could maybe have your own butcher store. But there are no more fish stores. But if you're ever zeicha to go to a fish store, sometimes they cut the fish, they take the head, and they take, here is a massive tuna. The tuna was 8 feet tall. It should really go for $2,000. What do? They cut off 90% of the body, they take the head, they put on the tail, and they sell it for $2,000, even though they already canned 90% of the meat. So sometimes the fishermen, they take the head and the tail and they fuse it together. So when we say, I want to be L'Roish, I want to be the head, but V'loy L'Zonav. I want to be the head of a body, not the head of a Zonav. I want to be Shania L'Roish, but it shouldn't be a head for a Zonav. It shouldn't be a head just for a tail. It should be a head for a whole body. Here's another pshat. This is from the Ar Yitzchak Likutim, Rav Yitzchak of Radvel, Api Chasidos. He says, many people are lost. Why are they lost? Because they don't have someone to learn from. They don't have a Reish. They're good Jews. They daven. They learn. They send their kids to yeshiva. They do all the good things. They put on tefillin. They sit in the sukkah. They do whatever they need to do. But still, they don't grow. And the reason they don't grow is because you say, Rabbi Yid, who's your Rebbe? Who's your Rav? Who do you learn from? What do you mean? Art school Gemara. Very good art school Gemara. It helps people learn. But who's your Rebbe? My Rebbe's the Rambam. The Rambam. I look up to the Rambam. Pal, the Rambam's in Tveria. He's been there for 1,000 years. Did you ever call him on the phone? Did you ever ask him one shaila in your life? No, I know why you picked the Rambam. Because you could ask him questions and then he gives you the answer that you want. He can't talk to you. Could you find somebody who lived less than 1,000 years ago to be your Rebbe? Do you have a Reish in this world? You have anyone who you ever talk to about any important issue? Not someone who reads your palms. That also stopped like 600 years ago. Nobody could read palms. Nobody could read faces. But you need somebody to connect with. Shania L'Reish. You need to have a head. You need to have somebody who leads you in this world. You need to have a Mora Derech. You need to have somebody to learn from. In fact, Reb Chaim Falaji, in the Sefer Tnufa Chaim, he says something very powerful. He says, V'haynu gamkein nusach leil Rosh Hashanah, shebehoyo shenia l'roish, sheyia lanu roish, hamahalech lefaneinu. That you should be a head that walks before us. Umayra oisanu asadarach. Meaning, Hashem, please help us have a head in this world. I need a Rebbe. I need a Rav. I need a Mora Derech. So many people don't have anybody that they learn from. Yeah, when was the last time you asked a Shaila? What do you mean? One time I stuck a fleishik fork into a piece of pizza and I asked a Shaila. Pal, that was the last time you asked someone a Shaila? You don't need a rabbi for that. You could call a halacha hotline. That's what you need a rav for, to find out what you do if you stick a fork in a piece of pizza. When was the last time you asked somebody advice about what to do with your children? When was the last time you asked somebody advice about how to lead your life? When was the last time you asked somebody advice about what you should learn, how you should learn, where you should give tzedakah? What? What's that for? You need to have a roish in this world. You need to have someone who you take etzah from. Not somebody who you go to and he looks at you and he gives you a blessing. You need to have a Rebbe. So it's a tefillah. Shania Laroish, we should belong. It's interesting. We don't say Shania Roish, that we should be a leader. Shania Liroish, we should have a connection to somebody who could guide us. Shania Liroish. And not be a tail. A tail is just expendable. Because a tail, meaning don't belong to a tail. Otherwise, you're just following the crowd. You're just following what everyone else is doing. You don't have any direction. You're just, you're a tail. Here's another angle. And then you'll see where what I'm getting at here. It's interesting, we say Shania Liroish. What's Shania Liroish? It should say Shania Roish, we should be a leader. V'loi, yeah. Lizanov. No, in terms of your question, Shania Liroish, V'loi Lizanov. Shania Liroish V'loi Lizanov. In other words, we should belong to somebody who leads us and not to someone who is not capable of giving us direction.
But if you say Shania Roish without the L, you could also say
The point here, according to this last shot, we're saying Shania Liroish, that we should belong to someone who leads us. Not necessarily that we should be a leader.
Right,
fine.
I'm saying the same reason you're asking Li, you could also say Lizanov.
So according to what we're saying, Shania Lizanov, meaning we shouldn't belong to somebody who's okay. Reb Avram Falaji. Reb Avram Falaji was the son of Reb Chaim Falaji. Actually, when we were in Turkey, we were at his kever on his yard site. Reb Avram Falaji was a malamakim of Reb Chaim Falaji. And he's also bothered. Why Shania Liroish? Should say Vinia Roish. So he would say that the word Liroish is a mnemonic, is an acronym, an acrostic. What does Liroish mean? It's a Rashi Tevois. Shania, Lasois, Ritzoin, Avicha, Shabashamayim. Shania Laroish, that we should be to do the will of our Father in heaven. Because the next day, on Rosh Hashanah, we're going to say, Im kebanim, rachamenu, kerachim avabanim, that if we're like your children, have mercy on us, like a father has mercy on his children. So we're mispalel, that we would like to be like your children. Shania Laroish, Lasois Ritzoin Avicha Shabashamayim. Likewise, the Sefer Pardes Yosef says, Aremez, Shania Laroish, Rosh Tevois, Lasois Ritzoin Avicha Shabashamayim. That our kavana is that all of our aspirations, all of our hopes, all of our drive, all of our yearning should be to do the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or another pshat. What does the Targum say on the word Shania Laroish? Targum says Roish. Laroish means letakif. We should be strong and not weak. Okay? What does it mean to be ahead? Shania Laroish. We should be strong and not chalash. So what is a takif? What is a gibar? Ezel gibar hakoivish es yitzray. So in Mispala, we should be takif against our yitzahara. To do what? Lasois Ritzoin Avicha Shabashamayim. Okay, Rabbi Isai, fasten your seatbelts. Because the whole shir is just an introduction to this. The Gemara says in Masechta Megillah, the Gemara lists the various Amoraim who, when they would learn Megillas Esther, would introduce Megillas Esther by expounding upon a pasuk in the Chumash. And the Gemara tells us about a particular drasha about the destruction of Edom. Says the Gemara that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbi Yonasan Pasach LaPischa L'Hai Parsha Sameyacha V'Kamti Aleim, I will stand up against Bavel. V'hichrati l'bavel, I will cut off to Bavel. Shame, what does shame mean? A name. She'er, progeny. V'nin, descendants, the necher, an offspring, Na'am Hashem. Shame, what will I cut off? Zehaksav, I will cut off their writing language. She'er, Zeloshoin, their speaking language. Nin, Zemalchus, their sovereignty. The necher, and their progeny, Zevashti. Says Rashi, what does it mean Hashem will cut off their language? Rashi doesn't say. Says Tosfos, question, She'er is their language? What language do they speak in Bavel? Babylonian. So ask Tosfos, well, if God is promising He's going to cut off the language of the Babylonian language, but if you go there today, they're still speaking Babylonian. So what does the Gemara mean? That Hashem promises He's going to cut off their lashon. Says Tosfos Kasha, you have it on your sheet number 14. Adayin he misapin bevavel belashon aramis. They're still speaking Aramaic in Babylon. So what does the pasuk mean? Vehichrati she'er ze lashon. They're still speaking the language. Says Tosfos, it doesn't mean the regular language. The regular language they're still speaking, but there's a certain royal phraseology that became obsolete. Venura, the Ratzaloimar, Loshain Malchus, Shehamalochim, Mishtam Shambai, She'in Sha'ar Ha'amakirimbai. It's a special royal tongue that they spoke in the courts of the king that nobody understood except for the royalty, and that language was destroyed. Okay, got it? Comes the Maral, and the Maral says, that's not what the Gemara means. The Gemara doesn't mean that Hashem's going to cut off the language of royalty. Does it say, She'er Zel Lashain Malchus? It says Zel Lashain. If it says Zel Lashain, it means God is going to cut off Babylonian. You ready for this? This is a life changer. You might not be happy with me. It's okay. Says the Maral in Or Chadash. Look at number 15. Olekach. This is not difficult. Even though they still speak Babylonian, that's because they already had the language. And they remain with that language of writing because they became accustomed to it. However, it is not fit for them to have another writing. Because this nationality lost whatever essence they had. But because they already had this language, v'nishar haksav etzlam, and the language remains with them, v'davar ze yadua l'chol maskal inyan ze, and this matter is known to anyone who understands it. I say, good, because I have no idea what he's talking about. But what he means is very simple. Babylon has no language. What do you mean they have the exact same language? No. You know why they have Babylonian? Because they had it yesterday. So they still have it today. If you do something today, not because you're doing it today, but just because you did it yesterday, it's meaningless. I'm just still doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm just still doing it. So it has no vitality. I'm only doing it because I did it yesterday. So the language maybe had vitality yesterday. And if I would be doing it today because I understood it and appreciated it, so I'm also doing it today. But if I'm only doing it today because I'm still doing it, that's not called doing it. Let me give you an example. And this comes from the Sefer Tiferes Shimshon of Reb Shimshon Pinkus. And he uses it to explain the pasuk in this week's parsha and the Yiratzon we say on Rosh Hashanah. He says there are many different kinds of people. You have leaders and you have followers. So you have some people. Why do they go to shul? Because that's what a Jew does. Everyone in the community goes to shul. If I'm not going to go to shul, then I'm not going to I'm going to be an outcast in the community. I'm not going to be able to, you know, get any advantages in the community. Nobody's going to come to my house. No one's going to take my kids to school. It's not going to work out for me. So I see Yankel's going to shul, Beryl's going to shul, Fivel's going to shul. Rabbi, why are you going to shul? I don't know, but they're going, so I'm also going. But the only thing is, Beryl's going to shul, Fivel's going to shul, but Yankel, he's not going to shul. That's not called going to shul. He's just doing what everyone else is doing. He's just a follower. So he's not really going to shul. What he's doing is, he's following them. He's not going to shul. He's doing what they're doing. You see the difference? You could choose to do something, or you could just basically mimic and copycat what other people are doing. You know, you have people who learn. So, pal, why are you learning? Why am I learning? Because if I don't learn in this community, you know, they're going to think I'm a bum. And you ask another, why are you learning? Why? I want to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a mitzvah. So one of them is learning, and one of them is not learning. He's just being schlepped along. You have doers and schleppies. We're not even talking about that. Now we're talking about something else. Here you have a big Rosh Hashiva. He learned in the Beis Medrash. And we learned in the Beis Medrash, we learned Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra, Gittin, Kedushin, Yivamas, Ksubas. And then he learned in the Kailal, and he prepared Shiurim, Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra, Gittin, Kedushin, Yivamas, Ksubas. Then he gave Shir in when he graduated the Kailal, in Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Gittin, Kedushin, Yivamas, Ksubas. And the rest of his life, he's coasting based on the fact that he learned good for 14 years. And you know what? He's a follower. Who's he following? Himself. He's no different than the guy who has no idea why he went to shul. He's just going to shul because Beryl and Five went to shul, so he's also going to shul. This Rosh Hashiva, he's not learning Baba Kama. He learned Baba Kama. He's coasting on the fact you have people who did it right for a short while, and now they're on autopilot. That's an exaggerated example. But the real example is most of us. And that is, we all do a lot of good things. But sometimes the good things we do need to be re-examined. Why am I learning now? Well, I'm learning now, I don't know, because I learned when I was 20. And why did you learn when you were 20? When I was 20, I was actually inspired to learn, and I really wanted to learn, and I wanted to come close to Hashem, and I wanted to. And now, why are you learning? I'm on autopilot. You know, that's just what I do now. I haven't really thought about it in a long time. Are you going to shul tomorrow? Avada, you're going down with kavana? Yeah. Why? Good point. Why? Yeah, I once thought about that. I thought about that a long time ago. And at the time I thought about it, I really was doing it in a meaningful way. Now, I'm basically just a tale of myself. There are a lot of things we do. And now, before I come to being a tale of yourself, we talked about how you could be a tale in a community, or you could be a tale of a generation. You know, people like tell me, rah, rah, rah. Forget the Mishnah Brura. It's all about Minog Avosayni B'Yadayni. Forget the Mishnah Brura. It's a minag. It's a, yeah. Azoi ferti the tata. The zaida. Do you drink Coca-Cola on Pesach? No, why not? Because my grandfather didn't drink Coca-Cola on Pesach. Pal, your grandfather didn't have Coca-Cola on Pesach. You don't have to drink it. There's no mitzvah to drink it. But it can't be your whole Judaism is based on what your grandfather did. What, you're a tale of your grandfather? You're a tale of your father? It's good. It has to be. Zakeli v'anveyu. Then you could bolster it with velekei avivaroi memenhu. But it can't be that you're just following what your grandfather did and your father did. Then you're not doing anything. If all Judaism is minog avosayni b'yadayni, you're not doing anything. It's not meaningful Judaism. It's only meaningful if you say, my grandfather did it, but let me also do it and understand why I'm doing it. And I'm going to do it because I want to do it. then it's valuable to say, I am going to have my own meaningful understanding and connection to what was done. But you can't just do what anyone else does. Not other people in the community, not your grandfather, not your father, and not yourself. Because if you are 40 years old or 50 years old and 60 years old, and even if you're doing the right thing, you're doing the right thing, but you lost the independent understanding of why you're doing it. You don't have a... You're not doing it anymore because you're inspired or you understand it or you want to. You're just on autopilot. You know, you turn the crank. You know those toys? Turn it. And now you're just going. Now the truth is that hergel is very important. It's very important to habitually serve Hashem. Actually, the most powerful technique in Avodas Hashem is habit. I'm going to give you an example. So here you have a guy, he can't get up on time for Shacharis. You know why? Because the Yetzer Hara says it's not possible to get up on time every single day. So you know, Yetzer Hara happens to be right. It's not possible to do it every single day. It's not possible. It's too much of a hurdle. If right now you have to think, now, from now on, I have to get up every day. It's such a struggle every day. And I have to do it every day. It's not possible. So the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says, you're making a big mistake. Don't tell the Yetzer Hara you can do it every day. You just tell him I'm going to do it 3 days. Is 3 days impossible? No, 3 days is not impossible. It's doable. Anyone can do 3 days. And once you do it 3 days, you have a habit. Now it's not hard anymore. So just tell him you can do it 3 days. And once you do it 3 days, you have a habit of doing it. It's easy. And that's the same thing with many areas in life where people struggle, where they say to themselves, I'm never going to do it again. You know, sometimes people say, come on, I have to do that? What, forever? Say, no, you don't have to do it forever. Just do it 3 times. A similar technique, somebody once asked me, they were addicted to smoking something. Okay? So they asked him what they should do. I don't know, I'm not a specialist. So I called somebody up. So they said, tell them like this. Tell them, the reason why it's so hard to kick the habit is because they have a craving that they say to themselves, I crave this thing so much. What, now I have to live the rest of my life with that craving? But the craving actually only lasts for 20 minutes. So you don't have to tell yourself that I'm never going to smoke again, or I'm never going to do X, Y, or Z again, or it's with any bad habit that somebody has where they're fighting something. Something's pulling them. Get angry. Look. And it's like, forever I have to overcome that force? No, you don't. Just for 20 minutes. 20 minutes? Okay, 20 minutes I could do. And then 20 minutes, it dissipates. So it's the same thing. Habit is very important because habit will get a person to a certain mode where it becomes easy. But nevertheless, even when we're in a good habit, even if somebody's in the habit of coming on time, even if somebody's in the habit of learning, even if someone's in the habit of doing mitzvahs, you can't let the mitzvah be reduced to a tale of the way it started. So the tefillah, Chasam Sofer gives a story about the early Hasidim. The early Hasidim wore only linen. They didn't wear wool. Why? Because nobody really knew why. But the real reason is they were worried about shatness. The second generation had no idea why they were doing it. So they said, we don't wear wool. So the first generation were doing it, and the second generation, says Chasam Sofer, were just, they were tails. So the first generation was doing something meaningful. The second generation, if they don't know why they're doing it, it's meaningless. Let's come back to the Maral. The Gemara says Hashem cut off the language of Bavel. Bavel has no language. But the question is, they're still speaking Babylonian. No. If they don't appreciate the language, and the only reason they're speaking it is because I don't know, we still have it. So it's not a meaningful exercise. The language is dead. It has no vitality. It's not a meaningful exercise. So you could have two people. They're both doing the same thing. One of them is doing it and one of them is not doing it. The one that's doing it is because they made a conscious effort and decision and choice and they're being thoughtful. And the other guy, he once upon a time was ahead and now he's a tail of himself. Says Reb Shimshon Pinkus, one of the most important tefillos that we say on Rosh Hashanah is Shania Leroish, we should be our own head, Veloy Lezanav. We should not be tails, not we shouldn't be followers, not we shouldn't be on the bottom, not we shouldn't be nebuchs, but we should not be trailing ourselves. That the Ribbono Shel Olam should give us vitality. The Ribbono Shel Olam should give us an alert and aware avodas Hashem, so that when we serve Him this year, it's not because we're just, you know, we've been doing it all the years, you know. And people come, I've been doing this for 50 years. So, you need to stop now then, you know. People have, you know, you go to a business and you ask them, you know, maybe I can have some customers. For 50 years, this is how I've been doing this. No wonder, you don't have any customers. You've been doing this 50 years. So just because you're doing something for a long time, it's a good thing to do. You should continue to do it. But you need to revisit and re-examine and try to do it in a way where you're doing it as a roish of yourself and not a zanav of yourself. Rav Shimshon Pinkus writes that Rosh Hashanah is designated as a special siyata d'shmaya, that it should be a roish, that we have a new beginning, we have a new start, and we're able to infuse vitality in everything we do, so that all the mitzvahs we do, all the masim tovim we do, all of the Torah we learn, and all of our aliyah could be on the madrega of roish, and not just, for sure not following other people, for sure not just following previous generations, and especially...
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.